Please get your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I want to begin reading with verse 13 and continue through verse 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You can go back to the Old Testament to a character by the name of Abraham. God is making Abraham a twofold promise. He said, first of all, I will bless thee. And then he says, thou shalt be a blessing. Now, this is two totally different things. Now, when we come over to Matthew chapter 5, and we read the three chapters that are what we know as the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus corresponds, I think, to these two promises that God makes to Abraham. The Beatitudes that he taught here, if a person possesses these qualities and lives according to them, he will be blessed. And by the same token, anyone who has these qualities will also be a blessing for other people. So just like Abraham, who was blessed and was a blessing to others, we who follow the teachings of Christ will be blessed, and we will also be a blessing to others. Anyone that possesses these things, he will find himself radiating from him a personality that can be an influence to those around him and an example for others to follow. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, the disciples' influence. And in these verses that we just read from Matthew chapter 5, Jesus describes an influence for us to have upon the lives of other people that we come in contact with. And he basically uses two figures to do this with, the figure salt and the figure light. With these two elements, we can take our Christianity and we can make it what it needs to be. We can possess these two qualities that will allow other people to see Christ living in us. Now, the first thing Jesus tells us here in our text is that we as disciples are salt. Now, this figure implies that the world is basically insipid. Now, that's a big word. Let's find out what it means. To be insipid simply means that you have no flavor, that you are tasteless. It would also indicate that the world is in the process of decay. And I guess we would all agree with that, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you say that our world is in decay today, especially in a spiritual manner? So we need salt to bring an end to this. Now, let's look at the work that salt does in our lives in general. First of all, it seasons. Salt gives relish to what would otherwise be tasteless. Now, y'all know what relish is, don't you? Relish is this little green pickle stuff that you put on a hot dog that really brings out the flavor. As disciples of Christ, we are to be a relishing unit. We are to bring out flavor for Christianity. Our job is to prevent the world from becoming insipid or becoming tasteless to the Lord. Salt also preserves. It stops the tendency to decay. I remember so well as a child, my uncle raised hogs. And he would kill hogs in the fall, and what he would do was pack the meat in salt. And that would stay in that salt for months. And when we would go out there to take a look at his meat, he would dig it out of the salt, cut a piece of it off, and give it to us to eat because it was already cooked. That salt had preserved that pork. It is a preservative. It stops the tendency to decay. You know, the world today is leading to corruption. It is decaying every day. Sin, it's like a cancer. It just eats at the body of society. It eats at our body, our spiritual body, enticing it to sin. It's like Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "Alas, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, for they have forsaken the Lord. And they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel and have turned away backward." They have done right the opposite as a godly person should. They are, for all practical purposes, decaying. But the godly man preserves our society. It preserves Christianity. The book of Malachi describes this kind of man. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6. "The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and in equity, and turned many away from iniquity." This is what the man of God does. It preserves that which is good. But there's danger in salt. You see, salt may lose its saltiness. Exposure to the elements will cause salt to lose its seasoning, and it will also bring an end to its protecting power, its saving power. And by the same token, the disciple, when he is exposed to the spirit of this world, can lose the flavor that it has. It can lose its saltiness, its ability to repel that which is evil. And if we're not careful, we will lose all of our power for good. And again, the Scriptures warn us of this. Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's what the man of God does. It protects society. It protects our Christianity. And only good men can do this. Only good men of salt can accomplish this. You know, in Luke 22, Jesus tells Peter that Satan is about to attack him and wants to sift him like wheat. In other words, Peter is about to fall. But Jesus says to him in verse 32, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen the brethren." Yes, Peter fell, but Peter came back. He lost his flavor for a while, but he did come back to God. So that's the danger of salt. It can lose its savor. And there is also a destruction of salt. Once salt has lost its saltiness, it is useless. It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men because it no longer has any value. A disciple that has lost his influence is worthless. So we need to be careful that we season our lives with salt, Christian salt, that we can put forth that effort to keep the world from decaying and to keep ourselves from decaying. Not only is the disciple salt, but also the disciple is light. Now, because the disciple needs to be light, that implies to us that the world lies in darkness. The darkness of sin. The darkness of ignorance. The darkness of gloom. Jesus makes this reference in John chapter 3, verse 19. He says here that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He also tells us in John 8, verse 12, that He is the light of the world. If we follow Him, we will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we find light through Jesus Christ. And you know, we don't like to think of this, but every one of us, regardless of who we are, at one time was in darkness. We lived in darkness. Because light, Christian light, is only found through Jesus. He also taught His disciples how to dispel darkness and how to bring light to a lost and dying world. And He gave it to them as their mission. And it is our mission as well to dispel darkness. We have been told, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Two things are necessary for spiritual light to be effective. Number one, it must be lighted by someone else. And that someone else is God. 1 John verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And when we are born of Him, we become like Him, and we become lights in this world. And if we continue in Him, our light will keep on shining. John tells us this in 1 John 1, verse 7, which is to me one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So we must become like Him because He is light. The second thing is our light must be set in a place to be seen. It must be a prominent place, as the Scripture says, on a lampstand or on a hill where it can be utilized, where people can see that light and emulate their lives after this light. In order for the Christian light to be seen, we must put it in a place where it can be seen. In order for the Christian light to be seen, we must avoid two things in our lives for our Christian light to shine. Number one, we must avoid ostentation. Now, another big word. What does it mean? Well, pretentious display. That's what this word means. Especially of wealth and luxury. Trying to impress someone with what we have or what we can do. Showing off, being flamboyant. You know, Jesus condemned the scribes and Pharisees for doing this very thing on many occasions. And the second thing that we must avoid is timidity or lack of courage. We've got to learn to be bold in our Christianity. You know, Paul tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Light is something that makes no fuss. It just simply shines for all to see. It doesn't try to hide. And that's how we should be as children of God. That's why Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men." And He didn't mean sporadically. In other words, let it shine for a while. Let it go out like a blinking light where it is seen and then it is not seen. This light, this Christian light, is to shine all the time. As the little song we teach our kids, "This little light shines all the time." That's the Christian light. We need to be like the sun that lights the world and never comes down. Why shine before men? Why do that? Well, that they may see your good works. Now, I want you to notice what it did not say here. It did not say that you may see you, the worker. That's not the objective here, to see me for what I do. The objective here is to give glory to God. You know, later on in this same Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus deals with people who like for people to see them. He said, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly. So again, we don't do what we do for God so people can see us. We do what we do for God so people can see Him, that glory be given to Him. So this is not about us, is it? Christianity is not about us. And we need to remember that. By the power of good works, men are turned from darkness to light. And even though we may not speak a word, a good man can show that light and glorify God. So we find that Christianity then is twofold. We have, first of all, salt, which is a conservative influence. In a world of corruption and decay, we preserve righteousness, holiness, and godliness of life, and all of that which is good. And by the same token, we are also a liberal influence, and that can be the light. In a world of darkness, we give light to others so that they can see Christ living in us. And that does take boldness, and we must do it liberally. So the question tonight is, how is your salt? How is your light? Do you flavor the world with your Christianity? Do you preserve godliness in a world that is so deep in sin? And do you shine your light? Do you let the world see Christ living in you? Do you let the world see the light that has come to live and give His life for them? Because that's what we do. We were told when Jesus left this earth to shine this light for the world to see. Teach this world about Christ and the light that He has given to us. That's what we do as Christians. Are you doing that in your life? It may be tonight that your light has gone out, your salt has lost its saltiness. You can get all of that back because God can remove that sin that is in your life that has caused your light to go out and your salt to become useless. And He can give it back to you if you will repent of your sins. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you have no light, and you're not salty at all for God. But you can be by giving your life to Him. And you can be the type of Christian to shine your light and to preserve with your salt the world that God has created. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.